Sometimes we've been in these meetings and we've shown this film, and you know, when Jesus gets with Pilate, and if you would, take your Bible while I'm finishing talking this, Hebrews chapter number 12. But when Jesus goes before Pilate, and you all know the story, but when Jesus goes there and Pilate is asking, he's like, do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas? And you know, he asks, what are you accusing him of? What's Jesus guilty of? And the Pharisees try to convince Pilate that this is a good case. And you know the story, and Pilate says, there's no case here. What you're saying he's guilty of is not guilty of death. Even if he's crazy, he's not guilty of death. And so you all know, and then Pilate says, okay, fine. I'll let the people decide. You can have Barabbas, who is a known criminal that deserves to die for his crime. You can have Barabbas, or you can have Jesus. Which one do you want? And little to Pilate's dismay did he think they were going to pick Barabbas. But obviously, you all know, they cry out Barabbas. And I'm telling you, these are people that have never heard this before. They've never heard the story. They don't know the end. And there'll be people that will be standing there at the video, and they'll be fussing and hollering at the screen saying, Jesus! Choose Jesus! And when they choose Barabbas, they're so angry and so dismayed and so frustrated. They'll turn, they'll throw stuff down, and they'll say, that's not right. Why would you do that? Such common sense to us. We know the end of the story. Sometimes people even turn to walk away and say, I don't even want to see anymore. You ever watch something and you get so mad you don't want to see? That's the way it is. That's it. I'm done. I'm leaving. And we're like, whoa, stop. Wait. Watch the rest. Because they don't even get the concept of why Jesus came. But it's such an awesome thing. It really is. When they see Jesus rise from the dead and go back to heaven for them. And with tears in their eyes, oftentimes weeping, you hear their voices as they're trusting Jesus and praying, saying, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you. Man, it's the greatest thing. I'll tell you, it makes it all worth it. Makes the trip, makes the discomfort, makes the pain, makes everything worth it. Just to see and hear anybody put their faith in Jesus. But to let people have an opportunity that have never, ever had an opportunity, to me, is the greatest joy in all the world. It is an awesome theme. Hebrews chapter number 12. I know the hour, we're going to get out quickly here tonight, because I appreciate, by the way, you coming. Thank you. I know there's school and work, and you're trying to put this into your schedule, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the pastor and his family and everything they've done and the food and all, but I know we don't want to be late tonight because everybody's got a busy day and tomorrow as well. But by the way, don't forget, if you'd like to, we have some pens back there, Mission Uttermost pens. Help yourself to one of those. We'd love for you to take it and use it. When you see it, pray for the national pastors. Pray for them as they're continuing to go out into the bush and they're continuing to spread the gospel. And there's literally people, hundreds of people being saved every week. Every week by our national pastors are continuing to reach their country that God has put them in, and they've come to Christ. And that's what God plans. So take a pen, take a prayer card, and please be in prayer for us, be in prayer for the national pastors. But by all means, listen, if you're going to forget to pray for somebody, forget to pray for us. And I mean that with all my heart. My family loves me. My family prays for me. My wife's family loves her. They pray for her. We have some people that pray for us. If you're going to forget to pray for somebody, pray for our national pastors. Don't forget to pray. Forget praying for us and pray for them. Because many of them are saved out of Muslim homes. And their families aren't praying for them. Their home life is not like ours is. And if anyone needs prayer, they need the prayer. So if you would, please, don't forget to be in prayer for the national pastors and those that are really struggling. And maybe you'll be one of the only churches that ever pray for them. You know, here in America, we've got lots of churches that will pray for us and people, but not everybody will pray for the national pastor. So please don't forget to pray for them for sure. All right, Hebrews chapter number 12. Listen closely. I'm going to go quick. I'm going to go fast. The entire message of Hebrews here seems to be that there is something better. What we find is that faith in Jesus doesn't take away from the lives. Actually, it brings better to our life, right? Putting our faith in Jesus doesn't take anything away. Jesus doesn't take anything away from us. He makes our lives better. He makes what we give to him even better. Hebrews chapter number 12, look at verse number 1 quickly. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Jesus. Who? Looking unto? Wow, are you awake? Looking unto whom? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Challenge us from your word here tonight. Thank you for all you do. Stir us now. I pray that everyone would be involved with your greatest business in the world, and that's reaching the world and telling the world about you. All we can do, Lord, is sow the seed. You bring the increase. Well, Lord, help us to do a better job. Help this church, help these people to do as good a job as they can at spreading the seed, at sowing the seed. We love you now. In your name we pray. Amen. Here we have Hebrew is a letter written to the Jews who are thinking about going back to religious practices. The Hebrews is written to the Jews thinking about going back to some of these religious practices that they had of the Old Testament and some of these ritualistic things that they were doing in the Old Testament, practices of the ways of worship. And the writer to the Hebrews clearly communicates that Jesus is far superior to anything that was found in the Old Testament. Now, there are pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament. But the writer to Hebrews is saying, Jesus is the superior to all that was of the Old Testament. All of the law, all of the ritualistic things that we did of the Old Testament, Jesus is superior to that. That's why the veil was rent in twain, right? When he died on the cross, the veil was rent in twain because Jesus was superior to even the wonderful place of the Holy of Holies. But Jesus was superior. Jesus was superior. And God said, my son, because of my son, now you have access to the throne. Because of my son, not because of the high priest no more. My son, because of Jesus. And we have this great, wonderful example. Now, if we are to clearly see the task for each of us as the body of Christ and to the church called Emmanuel, the only way that happens is to look to Jesus. We've got to look to Jesus. We are to clearly see this task. So first thing that I want to say to you here tonight is spiritual. We need to have spiritual vision. Spiritual vision comes from looking away from the outward appearance. It says, looking unto whom? Not the outward appearance. Looking unto whom? Jesus. Not looking to the world, not looking to popularity, fame, looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher, right? Beginner and finisher. Author, finisher. The writer of our life. The beginner, the creation of our life. The author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto him. Looking unto him. Spiritual vision comes from looking away from the outward appearance. Getting rid of baggage. Getting rid of it. You saw in those in that video there, and sometimes I've done this, I brought a big pack with me, but we have those big packs, and mine's a 70-liter pack. And you pack in there maybe one pair of extra shoes, because as you see, you go through water a lot. And you know, the last thing you want to do is tear up your feet. I got jungle rot on my feet one time. But your skin just starts rotting off. It's horrible. But anyway, you get an extra pair of shoes, you get... for 7 days or 8 days, we only pack, you know, maybe two or three pair of pants. Wear same pants over or wash them on the run. Underclothes, socks, extra socks if you can, but three or four maybe pair of socks so that you can change them out when they get soaked. So again, you don't tear up your feet while you're walking. Some food, you got to carry some food with you, a little bit of food, and we don't take fancy food either. But you take basic foods, but we start this preparation time well ahead of time. And then you weigh your pack, and I can remember a couple times weighing the pack and you're talking 75, 80 pounds, and you're like, oh boy, we got to take some stuff out of this thing. We can't be carrying all that. We got to get some out. We're not going to make it. We can't make it. Our plan is 20 to 21 minute miles hiking through the jungle, not on nice asphalt roads. You didn't see any asphalt roads. 20 to 21 minute miles hiking, and that's going through rivers and whatever it is that you're going through, but you're trying to keep that consistent pace so that we can get from one village, wake up early, and get to the next village so that we can start evangelizing and witnessing and then preparing for the service at that next village. And so we try to make as good a time as possible getting to village, because, you know, what saddens my heart more than anything is like when we went into the trip before last, our plan was to get to 12 villages. We got to seven villages. And I thought to myself, as we were leaving that jungle, I thought, I wonder how long it's going to be until we can get back here. And we missed those villages. Did we miss them because we weren't prepared well enough? Did we miss them because we could have pushed ourselves more? Did we miss them because we had too much baggage? But we didn't get to those other villages. And how many people are going to die and go into eternity from those villages that we weren't able to make it to? You know, it's heart-wrenching. It is. It's heart-wrenching to think, man, we could have done better possibly. And so, you know, that's what the writer here of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, lay aside every weight that easily besets you. Yes, you lay aside the sin. And I know you probably heard your pastor preach on this, but until we started literally doing this, I didn't know the impact. I've even heard the illustration, but I didn't realize the impact. Because if we have too much baggage that holds us back, if we have too much that keeps us from being able to do what God wants us to do or needs us to go tell those people, then they go into eternity. They go into eternity without hearing about Jesus because we had weights that were besetting us. So we work at it. We take things out of our pack and we pack the essentials. We pack just the essential things that we feel that we need and just what we think we need, and we eliminate other things. Of course, you need your Bible, and you take several Bibles because you want to give them away as gifts to chiefs and things. We do that oftentimes to give to a chief. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like giving a Bible to somebody. And they take that Bible and they hold it up in front of themselves and they look at it and they begin to weep and they say, I never thought I'd ever own one of these. I've heard of them, but I never thought I'd ever own one. Thank you so much for my Bible. And sometimes they'll take it, and they'll even, we're not talking super nice Bibles like these that we have bound. I'm talking about, like, we usually take somewhat cheap Bibles from the dollar store. Nothing super fancy. Sometimes they're just used Bibles that church members give us to go ahead and reuse, because what good does it do for us to keep 20 Bibles on our shelf, right? Bibles are like used flags. We don't ever want to throw them away, but we don't know what to do with them. So we go buy a new one, but we don't want to throw the old one away, so we keep it. And that's okay to keep your Bible, but what good is all those Bibles on your shelf? So oftentimes people will give them to us, and we'll take them, and we'll donate them again, and it's oftentimes not even a new Bible, a used Bible. And they'll take it, and they'll kiss it. And they'll put it up on their chest and they'll hug it. And there's tears coming out of their eyes saying, wow, thank you for the Bible. And sometimes we'll find out later, you know, the chief doesn't even know how to read. Most of them don't know how to read. But they still wanted the Bible. Because they heard great stories from the Bible. And they've heard that the Bible has transformed people's lives. And they just want one. And then the next step is they hope that someone will learn to read it to them. In some places we go, just like Madame Hawa, she was uneducated, she couldn't read. But then she had one of her granddaughters that went to our grade school who she learned to read. And then each day she'd have her granddaughter come and sit next to her little couch thing and she'd read the Bible to her. And not just her. She'd tell anyone in the village if they wanted to hear the Bible read to come to her hut at a certain time each evening and they could hear the Bible read. And sometimes there'd be 15 and 20 people out there as her granddaughter sits there and reads the Bible. That's incredible. It's just mind-blowing to us. Yet we have such access. But either way, what I'm saying is we take our Bible, we take our notes, and we take things to give as gifts, and we take our clothes, and we take some food, and we take some medicine, and we take some survival things that in case something bad happens, tourniquets or things like that to stop blood, bleed out or whatever. And, you know, we take what we need to take, and we eliminate as much as we can. And I've got to hurry here tonight, I know, but, you know, it's a thing, it's something that you have to decide what is important and what really isn't important in life. You know, we must learn that we don't run the race of the Christian life by asking, is it okay to do it? Well, what's wrong with it? You know, because when I have these 12 guys calling me, those, Pastor, Brother McCullough, Pastor McCullough, what kind of a backpack should I take? What do you recommend? What do you recommend I take? How many sets of clothes do you recommend that I take? What do you recommend that I take? You know, if some of these guys, Elijah was only 19. Had Elijah called me and said, Brother McCullough, is it all right if I take my game system? I'd probably say to him, Elijah, if you want to, you go ahead. And if anybody asks me, well, I really want to take, you know, I'd like to take some Tasty Cakes. I mean, I really think Tasty Cakes is a valuable thing to have on a trip like that. And if that's what they want to take, go ahead and take it. If somebody says, well, you know, I want to make sure that I take 3 sets or 5 sets of shoes because I want one to match every set of clothes that I have, then I'd say, well, okay, if that's what you think is important, you go right ahead. You know, it's interesting. If you follow, some of you all maybe have heard of the Appalachian Trail, of course, right? Or the, there's several other ones. There's the Pacific Coast Trail. It goes from New Mexico, southern border, all the way up to Canada. And then there's what's the other one? Allegheny Trail. And there's all these trails that people travel, right? And sometimes they'll take 2 to 3 months to go on these trails. You know, it's estimated, if you study this out someday, I'd love to do something like that. Then again, we're doing it in Africa already, right? But statistically, 2/3 of the stuff that people take in their pack is discarded within the first 7 days. Because you know what happens when they get on the trail? They really realize what is important. They stop and they realize, I brought way too much stuff. And there's no reason for me to carry this stuff. It's just too heavy. And if I'm carrying all this junk, then I'm never going to reach my destination. And that's what the writer here of Hebrew was saying. He was saying, look at the prize. Look at the mark. We're all running a race, the scripture tells, right? The Apostle Paul says, we're all in a race. Look and see what is important. And lay aside every weight that's easily besetting you. Because you have a village to reach. And if you don't reach that village, then who knows how long it's going to be until somebody does reach that village. And how many people are going to die and go to hell if you don't reach that village. A young person, God has a purpose for your life. You say, well, what's the big deal if I take a year, 2 years, and I just do my own thing, and I get rebellious, and I just go and have fun, and just live for me? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? There's some plan somewhere that God has for you. There's something and someone that needs to hear the gospel. And by you saying, what's the big deal that I play video games 3 hours a day or 4 hours a day, or last I heard, in computers and technology and TV, Aaron, you and I were just listening to a book, right? The average right now, young person, they estimate screen time 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day young people are putting in front of screens. That's a full-time job. 40 hours a week, not counting the weekend. That's sad. You say, well, what's wrong with it? What's right with it? What's right with it? Stop asking what's wrong with it all the time. Stop asking your mom and your dad and your parents and your pastor, what's wrong with it? Maybe there's nothing wrong with it. You know, there's nothing wrong with you bringing five sets of shoes on a missions trip. There's nothing wrong with you bringing 15 t-shirts. If that's what you want to bring, you bring it. But what's right with it? What's right with it? We've got to stop asking what's wrong with it and say, I need spiritual vision, God, to see things the way you see them. What is right with it? Examine your life in light of your relationship with Jesus. Ask, does it hinder my relationship with Jesus? Does it help me run the race? And does it help me end up a good and faithful servant that endured? Does it help me or does it hinder me? Does it help or hinder? Ask yourself. You know, if someone wants to take whatever they want to take on a mission trip, they're grown men. You take whatever you want. But when you decide it's not worthy to keep, don't ask me to carry it. Don't ask me to carry it. We're going to leave it in the bush. You decide later that you realize it's no good. Hey, I could have told you that from the beginning. It's definitely not worth taking. But if that's what you want to take, you go right ahead. That's your choice. It's not a sin, but is it a weight that's besetting you? It is a weight that's holding you back, keeping you. Pay careful attention how you make excuses for computer games or hidden things in your life, television, videos, magazines, novels, relationships, whatever it is. Is there anything wrong with reading the book? Is there anything right with reading the book? There's nothing wrong with it. Okay, then ask, is there right with reading it? There's nothing wrong with the movie. Well, is there right things with the movie? Is there good things that it teaches? And some can. I'm not saying they don't. There's some good things that can be learned, but is there something right or is there something better than right? Encouragement. You know, the Bible says that we have a great cloud of witnesses. We ought to have encouragement from the witnesses that are looking on. Spiritual vision comes from looking towards the person of Jesus. That's how we get the spiritual vision. Looking towards the person of Jesus. If while we're packing our bag, preparing to go to Africa, we're thinking, is this going to help me get the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is my purpose for going. Is this going to help me or hinder me? Well, I probably don't need this extra speaker just to play my music a little bit extra. Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but why do I need it? Could I carry an extra Bible that weighs the same 1 pound? Well, that's a little more right, isn't it? We can eliminate some of that. And it was neat, honestly. It was neat working with these men. And some of them, they'd say, okay, how many sets of clothes should we pack? And I'd say, well, we're going to be gone for 5 or 6 days. Maybe we should pack 3 sets. I'm going to pack 3 sets of clothes. And then some of them come back to me and they'd say, you know what? I thought about that. I'm not going to pack 3 sets. I'm going to pack 2 sets because that means I can carry 2 extra Bibles. And I'd say, good for you. You know what? Because nobody really cares if you stink anyway. Good for you. That's you saying, I don't care about my comfort or what I think I need. What I care about is the real end goal. I care about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. That's why the passage there says, looking unto Jesus. That's how we can pack better for our journey, our race. Looking unto Jesus, thinking about him. Look for him in your Bible. Memorize passages that he used, that the Lord uses to speak to you about. And apply the truth to your life. And then lastly, look at verse number 3 again. Chapter number 3. I want you to see this. What's it say? Consider who? Consider who? You mean he doesn't want me to consider me? No, it says consider him. Consider him. The purpose for all of this is looking at Jesus and considering him. What does God want you to do for missions? I don't know. Why don't you ask him? Ask him. I think you give faith promise commitment cards out on Sunday, you said. But that doesn't mean you can't ask God tonight. God, what would you have for me to do? What would you want me to do? Now, he may give you some amount maybe that you possibly could do or that you think, man, there's no way I could do that. He might give that to you tonight. But why don't you ask him again tomorrow night? God, what would you have me to do? No, he already answered me. No, why don't you ask him again? You ought to ask him another 20 times between now and Wednesday. Lord, what would you have for me to do? Lord, just tell me what you'd have for me to do. Consider him. Consider him. We see the finish, and we press on with Jesus. You know, if we're considering him and we're seeing Jesus, we'll press on a little harder. If we look at our own, oh, man, I got a blister. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I got a headache. And you know, it's not always easy. Our crew, every time we've been, somebody's sick. Every time somebody's sick. Sometimes you're sick for 2 or 3 days. Diarrhea, dehydration. You're not feeling well at all. Fever. But you know, there's no bed to go lie in. There's no hospital to call. There's no warming pad to lay on. And you just have to keep pressing on. You don't get to say, well, stop a minute. Give me a few days to recuperate. No, we just keep pressing on. Because we're in a race. We only have a certain amount of time. And we have to just keep pressing on. Boy, I'd like to encourage you here tonight. Whatever it is that God has for you to do. Listen, husbands, keep pressing on. Wives, keep pressing on. There's going to be times you want to stop. Keep pressing on. Young people, keep pressing on. Yeah, but living for Christ is so hard. Keep pressing on. It's not as hard as you think. Keep pressing on. Satan wants you to think it's hard. Consider him. Keep your eyes on him. We see our future, and we need to see our future and forget the past. God never commands something that he doesn't provide the energy or the resources or the faith to accomplish. William Carey said that. God never commands something that he does not provide the energy and the resources to finish and to accomplish. We are to continue to press on. What do you see when you look away from the world to Jesus? You know what you're going to see? You're going to see his glory. You're going to see his passion. And you're going to see his command. And I don't have time to go into every one of those points, but you're going to see his command. When you look to Jesus, you'll see his glory. You'll see his passion. What's his passion? He came to do what? Seek and to save those that were lost. That was his passion. Jesus, why'd you come? To seek and to save. That's his passion. And what's his command? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want everyone to hear this. I want everyone to hear it. Everyone to hear it. But what's so sad is only about a third of our country, our world has even heard it. A third. We're blowing it. We really are blowing it. I've been so heartbroken over the last decade thinking, God gave us the command to go into all the world. How are we falling so short? How are we missing it so badly? We're not even close. We're missing it. Any corporation that was only getting a third of the revenue would go under. Any corporation. And no one would put any investment back into it. No one would invest in their stock if they're only getting a third back. But Christian, God gave us the command to go. We can go. Will you do what God has for you to do? Will you lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you? Father, we love you. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us. Lord, myself included, I for sure pick up stuff that I don't need to be carrying. I pick up things that I don't need to be dilly-dallying with. I just don't. I need to get rid of it. I need to put it aside. I need to lay it aside. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to evaluate our lives, our homes, our weights that are besetting us. In your name we pray these things.